This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 128, where we're going to talk to SharePoint MVP Todd Clint about the new SharePoint 2016 release and a recap of the news and events from the Future of SharePoint event. Recorded live, May the 5th, 2016. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. The Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid is a Microsoft Gold partner whose mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of technology. Valid is always on the lookout for consultants, architects, and engineers. Do you know Azure, BI, and Analytics, .NET, Office 365, or SharePoint? Look them up on Valid.nl. Good morning, AC.
Good morning, CJ.
Have you recovered?
I have recovered.
Excellent.
Maybe not so. getting it from two different sides, it seems, on the positive and the negative on Twitter. So.
Yeah, well, there was a lot going on, wasn't there? So.
Yeah.
It was a big day for SharePoint yesterday. And there's lots of things that went on and happened. And we've got a really interesting interview this week with Todd Clint, who's SharePoint MVP. As you well know, Todd's a good friend of the show, a fellow podcaster or netcaster, I should say, for his show that's been running for many years. And so we're going to sit down and talk with him about everything going on in the SharePoint 2016 on-premises landscape.
Yes.
And hear what's going on in that world. So that'll be really fun. But what did you think of yesterday's event?
I thought it was really good. I like watching all of the news stuff that was coming with team sites. I liked a lot of the stuff they talked about, just the direction of where the refocusing of SharePoint. I know you said a lot in your blog post that you put out yesterday. I have one that I put up too. I waited for them to go live with everything and want to kind of give my two cents on it. I will say that for something that was such a big deal, for Jeff Teper got up there and said that, you know, hey, this is the biggest day of SharePoint. I will say that I was really disappointed that he only spent 5 minutes during the virtual event talking about a new huge piece for developers, right? That really was the only developer piece that was in the entire thing. So developers got, 5 minutes out of 2 hours. There was a blog post on the blog SharePoint or the Office blog, and there was also a YouTube video that we could go watch. But I found, honestly, I was really disappointed in Microsoft from the developer story that they were supposed to be showing. I got a lot more out of the community who had attended the different dev kitchens, like the Chris O'Briens and the Doug Ware and the Paul Schaeflines and Wichters.
Yeah, there's some good articles from those guys.
Yeah, I found Chris O'Brien's article to be the most useful in terms of having me get a grasp on what they actually did and how you actually build one of these new client-side web parts using the SharePoint framework.
I could not agree more with you. Like, I loved the announcements there. I loved seeing the new team site UI and things like that. And we'll link to both your blog post and my blog post in the show notes for the show so people can link to those and take a read of our thoughts in more detail. But yeah, in a nutshell, I love the improvements. Like, I like the new UI for team sites and the new sites, you know, directory, I guess, for want of a better word, to go find things. The mobile app, I've got a few thoughts on in my blog post about whether how useful it will be, but, you know, still nice step forward and things. But yeah, I think that the detractor for the whole event was the lack of a dev story or the dev stuff showing up, because those guys have been working pretty hard and there are some really interesting things in that and improvements in those areas. So I was kind of confused by that.
Yeah, I didn't really understand the fact that not only was it such a big deal that for developers, this new model, this new framework, I do want to say something about that in just a minute. I was, and with the amount of work that the team put into it, but I mean, by their own admission, during the thing, they said, this is the biggest day for SharePoint probably ever. And 5 minutes went to developers. I mean, that floored me. And you even had just like some of that whole fluff about customer, you know, success stories at the very end. It's like, I don't know how that helped me. I mean, to me, so I know you talked about the mobile.
It wasn't designed. Yeah, that part wasn't designed for you. That was designed for the business folks.
Yeah, I get that. And, a lot of the other stuff too. I mean, I'm very much a developer. I don't spend too much on the adoption of SharePoint. So, you know, the updated team site and stuff like that, it doesn't do a whole lot for me because, I mean, personally, it just doesn't That's not what I get out of it.
Yeah.
The mobile app, I'm not one to, that's not really targeted to me either, because I don't, that doesn't really interest me all that much, but it's more, I'm really curious on the developer story.
Yeah.
I was a little, I got a little frustrated yesterday because I did, in my blog post, I gave a little bit of a recap. I talked a little bit about what the SharePoint framework was. I talked about how I liked it and I liked the direction they're going in. But the thing that I was a little, that I did say at the end of the post was, I did kind of, you know, call Microsoft out and just saying, look, this is the fourth time, four versions, it's the fourth time that you've had a new dev model. And the thing, people are taking issue with the fact, some people are taking issue with the fact that I said it was a new dev model. But I heard yesterday, new dev model. I've read new dev model. The people that were in the dev kitchen have called it new dev model. It is new. It's not iterative what we had. It's nothing that builds off of what we had in the past. And that's not to say anything about the model itself. It's good, but the thing is that going back in front of a customer and telling them again 3 years later, after you've just been saying, Microsoft said this is the way we're supposed to be building stuff. I get that you can say, oh yeah, but you know, you still can build farm solutions. You still can build sandbox solutions. You still can build apps. They told us the same thing. The same thing. You can still build solutions if you want to build solutions. You can still build sandbox solutions if you don't want to do apps. I could do the same thing with this new framework as well, but clearly that's the direction we're going. My whole point of the whole thing is that Microsoft has now cemented the SharePoint team has cemented the loss of credibility in saying that why should I trust you in saying, we think that you should be building apps this way. I'm like, that's what you think right now, but it's going to be something so radically different next time. I have every reason to believe why it could be something radically different next time. And is that a bad thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that it's a bad credibility thing.
I'm definitely with you. I think they could have done a much better job at taking the add-in model and adding these capabilities that they've launched to that, keeping some of the same packaging, keeping some of the same distribution, and keeping some of the same techniques, but just give them, you know, a few more superpowers, so to speak. And make it much more iterative than a reset. So I'm 100% with you on that.
Yeah.
Hey, quick shout out. We've got a listener survey up.
Uh-huh, that's right.
So for anybody listening, we would love to hear from you. You can go to microsoftcloudshow.com/listener survey and fill that out. We would love to hear from you. We're trying to make sure that we cater to our audience. And so if you go fill out the survey, we will see all the responses and we'll talk about the responses at some point on the show about what we've heard from you. But we'll use that feedback to sort of guide the show and make it better. So we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you also sign up for our mailing list. If you just go to the site, if you fill out the survey, you know, I'll help you sign up for the mailing list. If you go to the site, you'll see that as well. But
yeah,
the idea here is that CJ and I are working on rolling in a few interviews coming up, and we'll be emailing everybody on our email list and just saying, hey, you know, we have a question for or an interview coming up with on this topic with these people. Any questions that you have that you want answered? We'll consider those to get them into the show. I mean, we're actively trying to get some people from Microsoft on to talk about the SharePoint framework.
Yes.
I mean, that'll be a classic case as well. We got a couple of things with Windows containers that we're talking to some people about as well, and updates to DocumentDB. So please reach out and sign up.
Hey, so one of the other big things that was announced yesterday was SharePoint 2016 going GA. And so for those of you who don't know what all the acronyms mean, typically a product is announced as RTM, which is released to manufacture, which basically means the bits are done. And we saw that with SharePoint 2016 back in, was it February or March? I can't remember. Something like that. And then it starts going out through various different channels. But yesterday they announced that SharePoint 2016 was GA, which means generally available, which means it's pretty much out in all the different channels now. You can go download it and start kicking the tires and, you know, taking a look at it for upgrade reasons and all that sort of stuff. But it's a big milestone. This is, you know, the next on-premises release after 2013, and people have been wondering and waiting for it. So now it's a thing. It's a big deal for Microsoft. On-premises is a huge business. They announced yesterday $3 billion business.
Wow, I didn't...
SharePoint now.
Really?
Yep. So either in passing or in the talk track, I can't remember where I heard that, but yeah, $3 billion business for SharePoint. Now, I'm not 100% sure if that's all on-premises or if that's a mixture of on-prem and cloud. So they're probably doing some fancy financial work with that one. But $3 billion is a big business by anybody's yardstick, right? So
adds up over time.
Yeah, and on-premises is a huge percentage of that. So it's a big deal for Microsoft, you know, making sure that they're releasing products that their customers are using and being able to upgrade. And so what we thought we'd do is we sat down with Todd Clint, who's a longtime SharePoint MVP. He's pretty prolific on Twitter and runs the runs a netcast where he talks about all things SharePoint. He works at Rackspace and things. We thought we'd sit down and talk to him about what he thought about the SharePoint 2016 on-prem release and discuss that with him. So we've got that interview coming up in a bit. But in terms of SharePoint 2016 on-prem, what are your thoughts, AC?
It's needed. I mean, it's definitely needed because a lot of companies are definitely going to stay on-prem. I really like the way that they've focused on making a good hybrid connections with Office 365 and how they made a pretty big point of it yesterday, how the foundation of SharePoint 2016 is founded on code from Office 365. So I guess in one sense, that's nice because you can assume that, you know, when you, the code that you're running has been battle tested in the cloud. It's not stuff that's just, you know, been come out of the labs and just the standard on-prem testing. I mean, this is stuff that's been, that's, you know, battle hardened. So for me personally, I spend most of my time with Office 365 or in the cloud. I don't do any on-prem work anymore. I recognize the importance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big deal for a lot of customers, and there's a huge base out there that aren't planning on moving anytime soon or augmenting their environment with some Office 365 and some cloud. So the hybrid stuff is a big deal for them. So yeah, I agree. It's great to see them making strides in that direction. I think the one thing I'd point out is I think people will be a bit like outside of a lot of infrastructure work, there's not a lot of end user love, right?
Yeah.
In this release. So that's something I think that will surprise people a little bit, is that there's not more goodness for them. But one of the other things they talked about in yesterday's event is that there'll be feature packs going forward yearly. So you know how my predictions a little while back, we talked about 2016 being the last major release and then it'll be a bunch of updates?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Putting $5 on that, yeah. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me if 2016 is the last major release of SharePoint.
Yeah.
And then going forward, it would be a bunch of service packs, PUs, and FPs. There you go.
Yeah, it makes sense too. I mean, it's better for Microsoft to have it that way too, where you have a stable version and you just kind of keep, you know, updating it incrementally and just having extra pieces instead of these giant, you know, big one fell swoop deployment that comes out. So
yeah,
it makes sense. As an IT pro, I would like it. I would tell people that, you know, that if you're looking at SharePoint 2016, if you're a developer, I may be going too far with this, but this is not a developer release. This is not a full release for everyone. This is a release primarily for the IT pros as far as SharePoint is concerned, SharePoint on-prem is concerned, with the exception of saying if you're trying to link up anything between on-prem and Office 365, the hybrid is the other big place where we see it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So like I said, we sat down with Todd Clint. Let's dive into that interview.
Oh, this is going to be funny.
All right. Well, welcome Todd Clint to the show. Todd is a prolific Twitterer, Facebook follower, Netcast producer and SharePoint MVP for many years. He blogs on toddclint.com, that's KLINDT.com, and has the same Twitter handle. So please welcome to the show, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you, CJ. Thank you, AC. I did want to bring one thing up. So I'm on the show. AC and CJ are the guys that run this, and I feel like I'm weird because I go by my full name. So I would prefer that you refer to me as TK for the rest of the show. So I feel TK. Like I fit in. Or else I'll just, you know, with Prince dying, there's all these names, and I feel like if I go by initials, I'll fit in.
Hey, that works out perfect, too, because that's like the initials of a famous racer that everybody refers to Tony Kanaan as TK on the IndyCar circuit. So there you go. You're fast. Man,
we'll just call you the SharePoint MVP, formerly known as TK. How about that?
And back in the day, there were so many Todds. There was Todd Baginski and Todd Bleeker, and so we Todds had to do a thing to differentiate. So
let's be clear: there is one Todd.
That's what I've been saying. That's the story I've been telling. My mom backs me up, but there's these other
one guy was referred to as Bleeker, Todd Baginski,
T-Bag.
T-Bag was his nickname.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, he actually, for everybody listening, he said to call him that. So, you know, it's all good. He's a good guy, but yeah. Anyway, hey, Todd, welcome to the show, man. It's been way too long to get you on the show here, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. I'm a very popular guy. I have a very booked schedule. So, you know, I feel lucky that I was able to wedge you guys in my busy social calendar.
We're very lucky.
We had to get new little people to get in touch with your little people because our former little people could not reach your little people apparently or could not work anything out. So we had to get new little people and our little people are doing great.
I love little people. They're so cute.
So what's been going on? What's been going on in your world? You know, you've been doing the netcast and all that sort of stuff, but we're going to talk about SharePoint on this show. But why don't you give a little bit of update on what you've been up to? And you're a Racker, right?
So just celebrated my fourth year at Rackspace.
Wow, congratulations.
They acquired us 4 years ago in February, and that's been going great. And so we do a bunch of SharePoint things. We host all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But SharePoint's been a big thing. I'm on the SharePoint product team or whatever we want to call ourselves. And like the last 9 months has been nothing but SharePoint 2016 and hybrid. That's what's going on. So
those are the big moves, huh?
That's the big buzzword. You got to get that in bold print everywhere you can. The business leaders love to see that.
It's all about the hybrid.
Yes.
You say Racker, we're referring to Rackspace, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Racker is what we Rackspace employees call ourselves. The demonym for Rackspace employees is Rackers. So that is
good word.
So I've got my word of the day desk calendar here, and I want to get my money's worth out of it. So. It's been a great time, and you guys have been in the SharePoint community for as long as I have. I've been doing SharePoint as a job for like 13 years now, something like that. And there was a lull about 5 years ago. I think it was SharePoint Conference 2012. We were all a little nervous about what was going to happen. We were pretty sure their first day they were going to come up on stage and say, SharePoint's dead and you're all fired. And we were all going to drop our shoulders and mope out. Those were kind of dark days, but the last 9 months has been on fire. The last couple of years, for sure, but the last 9 months, the first public showing of SharePoint 2016 at Ignite and all of Bill Baer's things. So it's been a great time to be in SharePoint.
That's definitely interesting that you bring that up, because I think there was that period, like you say, of when Microsoft kind of went off the crazy end of cloud and decided that that was the only thing that existed.
Yeah.
And sort of forgot about on-prem and core SharePoint product for a while. Well, at least that's what it looked like, at least anyway. And then everybody sort of was like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And everybody was absolutely petrified that was going to be the last release of SharePoint on-premises. And the media went wild and everybody was oohing and aahing and freaking out and all that sort of stuff. And my livelihood, the sky's falling. And then Teeper, Jeff, came out on stage at SharePoint conference, a couple of SharePoint conferences ago, and was like, we're going to do it again. And everyone was like, yeah, right. You're not going to do it again. We don't believe you. And then the next one is like, yeah, it's coming. And now we're finally here. So it's been a couple of years of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, but the time has finally arrived.
I remember when that whole thing kind of started. It was at the SharePoint conference. Was that the one that you ran, CJ? Or was it the one right after yours?
I think it was one right. It was after that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's when everything at that show was almost predominantly Office 365 stuff. And mm-hmm. I know Todd and I were presenting there. I'm not sure. I know, CJ, you were there. I'm not sure if you were presenting there. Mm-hmm. That was the year that it was all in the cloud and we had no internet in the hotel. And like the night before the conference, everyone's like, screencast all your recordings. And we're all like, we can't get to the cloud from the hotel. How are we going to do that?
The early days of the cloud. Actually, it's funny how much that still sucks at conferences, but anywho.
So I think if it was the one I'm thinking of, I talked to Richard Riley about that at the speaker party and was busting his balls about that exact thing. You know, everything's in the cloud, but yet we can't get to the cloud. And he was telling me all the things that they did to keep that from happening. Multiple ISP lines and pipes as big as my waist and all that. And what that ended up on the first day, what it came down to was some kind of traffic or intrusion detection thing. So the pipes had nothing going on. Everything was in place, but some piece of software had a threshold set in somewhere. And we hit it and it just killed everything.
Yeah, there was a firmware bug actually in a bunch of their routing equipment that was new routing equipment, first time at a conference being used.
Wow.
Hit a firmware bug and it all turned to poo.
There was, I think, what was it? The solution was to have Comcast come in and drop a line in the backstage for the keynote demos.
Yeah, I had a 10 meg line put in for the keynote demos. Yeah, I vividly remember that. It was painful. Anywho.
He's just going to sit in the corner and rock for a little bit.
Let's get out of the cloud here and let's focus on what I know what we wanted to bring you on to, Todd, was we want to talk to you primarily around SharePoint 2016. And I mean, that's there is obviously a tie into Office 365 with it, but we want to focus on the on-prem and, you know, the story of how it would tie into 365. But this is a SharePoint, this SharePoint show here. So what are your big, like, you know, big things that you would say are like, you know, what is 2016 from an on-prem point of view? Like, why, what's new here? What should people be looking at?
So there's a lot of great things, and it's important, you know, so some of the backstory for those of us who've been in this for a while, again, we thought SharePoint was dead. I thought I was going to have to learn how to cook burgers or sag groceries or something. I have no marketable skills. And so it was good when this version came out, and we started seeing it. We're like, holy crap, this isn't just some perfunctory thing that Microsoft's putting out. There's really a bunch of new functionality in here. There's a lot to get excited about. And so that's been good. And just digging in and seeing what's going on. The other thing is, this is the first version of on-prem SharePoint that came from the cloud. So the previous versions of SharePoint Online were all, you know, they took SharePoint 2007 and they branched it and they tried to put some polish on it and then called it, you know, SharePoint Online. And same with 2010. With 2016, they took SharePoint Online and said, okay, we have to draw a line in the sand and these things make it into the on-prem product. And because of that, we're able to take advantage of a lot of the things that Microsoft learned hosting SharePoint. And so there's a lot of great functionality in it. Now, things that I feel like being on the outside, things that I've complained to my friends at Microsoft about for a while, and they're like, nah, nobody cares about that. And now that they're hosting it, they find out that maybe one or two people actually do care.
It's funny how that happens.
It's the damnedest thing.
When it becomes your problem, you start caring about it.
Let me share with you the pain that I feel. In the last 10 years, you apparently didn't believe me, and now you feel my pain. Hey, what's Mineral?
Yeah. So that's one of them. So there's a bunch of great things. So Mineral is one of them. That's one of the much vaulted things in SharePoint 2016. So what Mineral is this ability to have SharePoint look after itself and only do the things that you tell it to do inside your farm. So there are a few Minerals, but like one of them is web front end. And if you assign, when you configure the box, not when you install it, it's not a bit thing, it's a software thing. When you add a server to the farm, you know, there's a coding process and all these kind of things. But one of the things is that server tells the farm, here are my responsibilities. And it can be everything, like we've always had in the past, or it can be, I only want to be a web server. Since I was a little server, I wanted to grow up and be a web server, I will be a web server for your farm. And so when you give it the web front end min role, then there's a timer job that runs and makes sure that all those things are running on that box. So if you've got bad code that crashes an app pool or shuts something off, and I know that never happens, but in the unlikely event the bad code breaks something, this timer job will go through and right all of those wrongs and make sure that that machine is doing the thing that it pledged it would do. On the other hand, it also shuts off things that machine is not supposed to do. Mm. So some ill-trained SharePoint administrator goes in and turns all the service instances on, this Mineral will go and shut them all off except for the ones it's supposed to do. So that is one of these things that Microsoft learned having big SharePoint farms out in the cloud. They've got their roles very well defined, and that made good sense. The bad news about Mineral is it takes away some of your high availability. So there are, we'll call them five Minerals, but there's really four. And so if you want to have high availability before, if one of our web front ends died, we could just turn the web front end role on another box while we were fixing things. Now, if we do that, SharePoint will roll along behind us and shut it back off.
I see.
Yeah, so for high availability, now you need to have two of everything. So you need to have two web front ends, two application servers, two search servers, so on and so forth, two distributed cache. So if you use Minroll, if you want to have high availability, you're looking at a minimum of eight servers. And for those of you that aren't watching me, I'm holding up eight fingers and I got it right the first time. So you're looking at a minimum of eight servers. Now, for a lot of on-prem farms, eight servers is on the high end of average. That's a lot of servers.
Yeah.
For Microsoft, their SharePoint Online farms are in the hundreds, I assume, just thousands of them. So for them, that's not a big deal, not something they had to worry about. But for us lowly folks that are in the field, starting off at eight servers for high availability is kind of a tough thing to swallow. Now, as a hosting company, a company that sells servers that hosts SharePoint, we're big fans of Mineral. We think everybody should use it. But it's kind of tough to swallow. And that's before you start worrying about sizing and, you know, how many web friends do I really need to handle my traffic. So that one's kind of a mixed bag. But one thing that does give us kind of a tangential thing with that is this idea of zero downtime patching.
Mm. That sounds like Nirvana if I've ever heard it.
Yes. Eat all you want and still lose weight. That's the subtitle for that one. So one of the pain points for SharePoint has always been when you put patches on, there was kind of two devils in that. Number one, you never knew what horrible things that patch was going to do to your SharePoint farm, what it was going to break, what was going to be left smoking in the background. But the other thing was you always had to incur downtime. When you ran the config wizard, it took the farm down and reset everything everywhere, and there was downtime considerations. So now if you have MinRoll and you have highly available roles, if you have two of everything, you can actually patch the farm and move roles in and out without there being any appreciable downtime to end users.
So like rolling patch deployment across your farm type thing.
Yeah. So from a technical standpoint, from the propeller head view, what it doesn't do is lock the config database. So I can put the patch, we've always been able to stagger the patch installation. We've always been able to do that. It was that config wizard thing at the end that caused this grief. So now we can take one web front end out, update it while all the traffic's going to the other web front end.
Got it.
Switch them, but the config DB doesn't get locked in the background and take the farm. Mm.
Gotcha.
But again, the most visited page on my entire blog is my SharePoint 2013 patch page. So it's toddklent.com/sp2013builds. And that is where everybody finds out which patches are out there. And I've got a wiki page set up for every patch that lists all the stuff that it breaks. And that's one of the things that Microsoft has stressed is getting things current. Microsoft gets its nose bloodied a lot because of security issues in SharePoint, Windows and everything. So they were pushing patches really hard. And I'm all in favor of that.
Sometimes they run a bit quicker.
Yes, a little too quick sometimes. But so patching is a problem.
I used to call it running around in a dark room with a pair of scissors.
I can see that analogy.
You want to fix something, but you're just running around with a pair of sharp scissors and you're going to run into a wall and stab yourself.
I'm going to use that. That might be the...
It was funny because as a dev instructor for so many years, you'd always have devs say, there's a new release, there's a new service pack that came out this month. Should we go through and install like the April one? And it happens to be in May. And I'm like, and as the developer, I always be like, no.
Not even close, no.
Don't do it. And like, why? I said, because no offense, but there's a pretty good track record, or bad track record, of every patch breaking something. And then it takes like, and I said, so there's usually not usually, but there was frequently, do you want to install the June patch? And the answer would be, it depends. Do you want the early June patch or the late June patch? Yeah. Because the early June patch is the one that actually breaks stuff. The late June patch actually fixes it. But the problem is if you install the early June patch, you can't put the late June patch on. You have to do something else to get that actually. And so it was so confusing. It was like, you don't want to put updates on all the time. You always want to wait like 2 or 3 months down the road. So this definitely sounds like a much better approach though, too. You don't have so much of the breakage stuff that's going on.
I was going to say, is this sliced bread? Are we seeing a sliced bread moment for SharePoint on-prem? Is this going to change your life?
No. So the problem is it's not going to fix the bugs. It's not going to fix the regressions. It's only going to make it less painful to add the regressions to your farm.
Gotcha.
It just means you're not going to have to take your farm down when you break it. And for the listeners, the example that AC gave about the June patch and the other June patch, that's a real deal. He didn't make that up. That's not hyperbole. He was not just spinning a yarn in his head. That's an actual story. My favorite regression was the one, it was one of the service packs in SharePoint 2010 that set everybody's licenses back to a trial license, a 6-month trial. And it came out in April. 6 months later, if you do the math, October was the SharePoint conference. So all of the people who would be back to fix the broken SharePoint farms were all in Vegas, probably drunk or hungover at the SharePoint conference. I'm not making that one up either. Every farm that installed that service pack got set to trial mode. And quietly, there's no big lights that went off or anything like that. And the date that it expired, if you installed it the day that it came out, was while the SharePoint conference was going on.
God, I didn't know that.
Wow, they seriously have an uncanny ability to get that right, don't they?
If I didn't know any better, I would say that there's somebody at Microsoft whose job is, SharePoint patch buggery. And I can only imagine if we could see their HR things, it would be meets and exceeds expectations every quarter for the last... call it 7-8 years.
But things are better.
So that's one of the new things. Yeah, I could go on about that.
We should do a war stories episode one.
I'd have to start drinking again.
I'm surprised you've been doing 13 years and it hasn't. Because I'm starting to take a pill now to keep my hair in.
Well, that's my secret. I don't drink, but I take pills. That's it. That's how I cope. So some of the new things for on-prem that they've added is... a greater file upload. So since the beginning of time, when SharePoint was on stone tablets, the max upload size was 2 gig. And that was a vestigial thing from SQL. SharePoint could handle it, but SQL.
Yeah, the blobs in SQL. Yeah.
Yeah, the 32-bit dealio. And again, we would yell at Microsoft about it, but they didn't care. And then Microsoft started hosting SharePoint, and their customers yelled at them, and then they cared. So now I think the upload limit is now 10 gig.
Are there really people putting more than 2 gig files in SharePoint?
You know, that was always my thing. I never thought to keep like my DVD ISOs up in SharePoint. That never occurred to me. But what it ends up happening is being like videos, training videos, things like that, raw files. There are actually some images, get big images, CAD files, things like that.
Do you see that a lot? Because I had the same take on it from CJ, where I you know, there's times when you hear people talking about it, you hear this feature's coming out. There's the side of you that says, well, it definitely has no effect on me. And it doesn't have any effect on the people that I actually impact or that I talk to on a regular basis. But I see that Microsoft is talking about it, but I also see a lot of people are like going, I heard that mentioned about the limit has been exceeded. I heard that at Ignite and people like started applauding in the room when Bill Bear said that. I was like,
huh?
Wow.
Who are you people?
What are you doing?
Hold on. I'm getting out from under my rock right now. I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. I mean, maybe being completely disconnected, you know, and not in touch with all the customers, but I was shocked that was that big of a deal.
I'm sort of stunned. Like, once you get a file that big up there, what do you do next? Like, the experience has to suck.
Well, so that, a couple of things. Number one, you know, the story about the cobbler's shoes always being the worst, you know, the cobbler's kids. I think as SharePoint folks, we don't use SharePoint so much as we abuse SharePoint. So there's a lot of end user cases that I just never see because I don't use SharePoint that way. But I will tell you the biggest one of those that I've seen is videos. And that's partially SharePoint's own fault because it's added the video preview stuff and all the great things that it does for, you know, re-rendering videos and all that. Getting a video over 2 gigs, not that tough these days.
Yeah.
So that's one of them.
I have a kind of a random question here. And this is coming from me as a primarily as a developer and a background. I mean, I pay attention mostly to the cloud stuff and everything, but I understand that there are significant number of businesses that are staying on-prem that do not want to go to the cloud or for various reasons cannot go to the cloud, whether it be business, regulatory, whatever, but it makes more sense for them to stay on-prem or they have to. So one of the ways I've always thought of this version of SharePoint release, of the SharePoint 2016 release was, and I need you to tell me if this is fair or if it's not fair, because I think other people have the same thing.
Well, if you're wrong, I'll shout it out. Yeah,
I'm sure. We're good friends. We do a great job of that. But I always saw this as, I saw this release as one that, it's one that is primarily around helping people manage their SharePoint deployments and helping them be more connected if they want to Office 365 and doing more of a hybrid thing. But this isn't something like for the developers that are out there, the developers aren't going to be looking at this and going, what new things can I play with? What new widgets that are out there? This release isn't for me as the developer. This release is for business, for the infrastructure group, and for enabling better hybrid scenarios with customers. Is that fair? Is that a fair label to throw on this?
Yeah. So one of the ways that I describe SharePoint 2016 is it's Microsoft's gateway drug to Office 365. And they've been doing that for a while. They started dropping some of those hybrid things into SharePoint 2013. Service Pack 1 dropped a few things. Last August, they dropped the hybrid picker and those kind of things. So that's certainly where their head is at. But again, one of the things I was excited about this build, the 2016, is it's not just that. They didn't just put some lipstick on the 2013 pig, add some more hybrid hooks and call it done. There are things for the folks that you mentioned that can't or just aren't comfortable. There's a lot of good things there, the upload size and those kind of things. For developers, I think what's going on is the ever-changing way that you develop against SharePoint. I don't even know if you'd call it the object model or whatever, because now they want you to do things remotely with REST, whatever that means, and CSOM, whatever that means.
Spoken like a true IT pro, man.
Whatever that is, if that's even a real thing. But every
API, API.
Every version of SharePoint, starting with 2010, makes that story a little better. Because once again, one of the things that Microsoft learned is when developers run code on the SharePoint server, hilarity ensues. I mean, just bad things happen. So they've been pulling that kind of thing off of that server. And 2016 makes that even easier. There's more REST endpoints and all those things. And so what I look at it is it's getting developers closer to being able to do the thing that SharePoint you were supposed to be able to do a SharePoint when 2013 came out. Mm-hmm. You know, when they said, okay, no more full trust code. You don't need it anymore. We've got this great client-side object model. And then you guys went, but I can't do this. And I can't do that. And this doesn't work. And what about... Those gaps are starting to get filled.
I applaud what they're doing. I mean, I think it's the right decision. I mean, I was, you know, I'll come out right now and say that all those years that we're saying, you know, build farm solutions, build your code inside of SharePoint. At the time, it was great. But the thing that held us back from that is that now, as a developer, we were always relying on Microsoft to support everything that we needed to do. And it actually, I think that from the SharePoint team side, it makes their life a hell of a lot easier by focusing on API and saying, you developers can do whatever the hell you want. Here's how you can go build something, treat it as an app, give it permissions, and how you can talk to SharePoint. But you run it and do all that stuff on your own. You scale it the way you want to scale it. You don't have to scale SharePoint at the same time. And I love the fact that if I want to, you know, write stuff with whatever language I want and have my own, you know, continuous deployment and all that kind of stuff, and integration and testing, I'm not tied to what SharePoint's doing. I'd rather have Microsoft and the SharePoint team doing what they're doing now, which is focus on providing value with SharePoint. Don't focus on enabling like things I'm going to build a better solution and what's a better way for me to deploy my code. Like, no, let other people solve those things. You guys focus on what you're good at. And I love this approach they're going with. Like you said, though, it's the ever-changing way to build stuff against SharePoint. And you know, it's always seems like it's always a new model. We've got the original model, which was, well, I was doing that in 2003 through 2007, which is build some DLLs, put them in the GAC, change some stuff in the web config, try and force it in there. Then we get farms and solutions, features and solutions to 2007, makes it easier to put it in there. Then we get sandbox solutions, makes it easier. Then we get the app model and stuff like that. And
which makes it harder.
Yeah, it's every version, you know, we get a new way to deploy stuff. So, I mean, I know that they're always changing it and stuff. It would be nice to, you know, kind of see one that's gonna last forever. I'm curious to see. Curious to see where we go from there. But I mean, it's, you know, we got a ton of stuff with add-ins.
Yes, whatever they're called this week, yeah.
Oh, please, they've only been changed once. You two grumpy old SharePoint, get off my lawn.
Okay, let's not go there.
There were apps when my dad had apps, my granddad had apps.
Exactly.
Father before him.
Should we talk about hybrid a little bit? Because this is like a big theme of the release. So what does that even mean in SharePoint 2016? And because we had a little bit of this kicking around for a while and people have been toying around with it, like with search and that sort of thing. But what does it really mean in 2016 and what does it let you do?
It lets you do a lot of things. And what it means is Microsoft wants to sell more Office 365 licenses, and bless them for that. And I talk to a lot of customers and we host SharePoint and Exchange and Skype for Business and all those things. So it's always fun to me when I talk to customers who have Exchange and I'm like, hey, let me tell you a little bit about SharePoint and hybrid. They're like, oh, we understand hybrid. No, you don't, because with Exchange, there's exactly one hybrid scenario. I take the mailbox from on-prem and I move it to the cloud. And that's hybrid. With SharePoint, it's way more complicated than that. And there's a lot of different facets of that. So search is one of them. So you have the ability now to have search the query and, let me use the right terms, index roles up in Office 365. Mm-hmm. And then when you do a query on-prem, your query is actually shipped out to Office 365. It's done there. It takes your on-prem data and your in-cloud data, gives you results from that.
Gotcha.
So that's got a couple of great benefits. One of them is sizing search has always been tough on-prem. Search is very CPU hungry when it's crawling and indexing. It's very space hungry for the index files that are on web for ends or maybe not. And so scaling all that's always been tough. If you use the hybrid search or the cloud search service app, now all that heavy lifting is done in the cloud, so you just need crawlers on-prem. And
I see.
And the other great thing about that, so that's part of it, is that. The second thing is once your index, your corpus is up in the cloud, then you can take advantage of all the great cloud things like Delve and the Office Graph and all that, because that's where all that's fed. And that's another great thing, talking about the REST stuff. Microsoft is having all these other services that are wedging in, and they're all able to do this because of the endpoints. It doesn't have to run on a server. So I feel like that interface is going to be there for a while because they're using it for things like Delve.
Gotcha. I see. How does that work? So if I'm an on-prem customer and I've got a SharePoint 2016 farm, what do I have to configure to get it hooked up to 365 from a sort of a, you know, ports, widgets, and addresses kind of point
of view? Well, there's chicken bones and candles.
And you've got to hold your tongue out and point west just at the right time? Yeah, gotcha.
It works best on Tuesdays. I don't know why. I've got a good answer for that.
Wait a minute. That's Patch Tuesday. That could be really bad.
That's a feature, not a bug.
Exactly. That story has gotten better and continues to get better. So for search specifically, if you have Office 365, and I don't remember if you still need to be on the Insider Ring or the fast release thing, but then if you have 2016 RTM or 2013 August 2015 or later, there's this thing called the hybrid picker, where you open up Central Admin in one tab, Office 365 Admin in another tab, get logged in, and you do the hybrid picker in Office 365, and you say, I want to wire up search, go. And since it has a context in both of those environments, it actually wires it all together in the background.
Huh.
It's pretty crazy stuff. So we've been able to do this hybrid thing for a while, and there's lots of ugly PowerShell, and that's not as bad now. Neil Hodgkinson has made that PowerShell mostly understandable and consumable now, so guys like me can run it. But things like server-to-server trusts and all that, and it's continued to evolve, so now we've got this actual UI way to do it. And that gets your farm and your tenant wired up and gets all that going. And then search, so after that's all done, then you just create a new search service application, and you say, stick it in the cloud, and it sticks it in the cloud.
Voila.
Yeah, it's just that easy. Now, with that one, there's a catch that everybody who wants to ever do a query has to be licensed in Office 365, because the query is actually happening in Office 365. And the thing that stinks about that is if they're not, what they don't get is a message that says you need a license. What they do get
is no results.
I don't think we need to point at anybody or name anybody who may have spent hours trying to figure out why search wasn't working because the account that he was doing the query as didn't have a license in Office 365.
Hey, I mean, even if there was just one result that came back and it was a nice little PDF that's like, here's how you go buy 365.
Exactly.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. I'm only kidding.
That would have been nice.
Isn't that called a call to action?
Somebody write this down. So that was one of
them. So that's search, yeah.
That tripped me up. So search is good. One of the other great things you can do is move your My Sites, which are now OneDrive for Business, but OneDrive for Business on-prem, not OneDrive for Business in the cloud. You can move that into Office 365. Great values of that is, number one, again, you don't have to have the space on-prem, you don't have to SQL space and all that. Number two, those things have never upgraded very well. If anybody does fiddly things with that, they don't upgrade well. Once it's in the cloud, you don't have to upgrade it anymore. It's in the cloud.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha.
And number three, that's a good, easy way for your end users to play with the cloud. So once you get it out into OneDrive for Business, then they can get the app on their phone and their tablet. They can get to it from the web, from work, all those things. And they get comfortable with that. And then you're like, okay, well, this one site collection that we're doing with the vendor, we're going to go ahead and put that out in that same spot. And they're like, oh yeah, I can get that on my phone. And they know how to do it.
Gotcha.
The mobile experience for SharePoint 2016 and Office 365 is second to none. The apps are great. The web is great. And that's one of those things where once you get that hybrid piece built out and you can start moving the content that makes sense out there, It's easy for people to use. And squeezing that extra work out of employees is good. The other thing is, I've been in IT long enough that I remember the days when the equipment and the software that I had at work was better than the equipment and the software that I had at home.
Yeah, usually it's the other way around.
Now it's completely flip-flop. So now you get somebody who's at work and they want to share a file with somebody, and they're like, well, I got this Dropbox, I've got whatever, let's do this at work. And IT's like, oh, hell no, security this and complication that and patch that. And they just find a way around it. They do that because they're familiar with these tools now. So now that we've got this OneDrive for Business that can be out in the cloud, and it scratches that itch and still gives IT some control over that.
Yeah, because the employees, they're using all these different services on their phones and at home and all that sort of stuff. And it's kind of crazy to think that you're not going to offer, if not the same, but better service at work. So
in order for you to get the hybrid thing set up, you have to have your identities figured out. So syncing your on-prem Active Directory to Azure Active Directory, that's scary.
Yeah, this seems like a big deal for companies, right?
Yeah. So when, 2012, when we were all thinking about, oh my God, we got to get new jobs, it was all very scary. We've been comfortable in our SharePoint roles for a while. But I remember when SharePoint 2010 came out and I had to start telling admins, you have to learn PowerShell or you can't be SharePoint admins anymore. You have to go, get a job someplace else. Now that has shifted, and now that's identity. Now you have to understand identity. And that identity can be syncing into Azure AD. It can be ADFS. You don't have to be an expert on it, but you need to understand it because you need it for hybrid. You need it for all these other things. And that's kind of the next thing.
It's such a fundamental building block that none of this is possible without that bit sorted first, right?
Yeah. And that used to be really ugly and there was no way to sort it, but now the tools are there. And
gotcha.
Yep.
So that's a little bit about hooking up to the cloud and that sort of thing, and some of the advantages around search and my sites and that sort of thing. But what about moving to it? How is it hard? Is it easy? Is it just like all the other releases of SharePoint? Have they made this a bit better? Or like you're talking about Minroll, and that sounds like a farm rebuild to me.
Yeah.
And the other part I want to throw in there too is, you know, who should be considering this now? Is this one of those blanket, you know, we're not going to, I'm sure Microsoft would like to say everybody, but you know, who does this make sense, like that people should be looking to upgrade? Is there really no benefit to really staying where you are right now, and you really should get to the latest version, provided you've got the licenses and all that kind of stuff? Then does it make sense to move, you know, today?
So I think everybody should be looking at it. I would not recommend that anybody move today. Upgrades are a lot of work that have to be planned very well. CJ brought up an interesting point about Minroll. I'll come back to that, but it's something that you can't just say, okay, I've got this in 2013. I'm going to build the same thing in 2016 and just shuffle everything over Friday night and Monday morning. Users are going to, it's not quite that easy. So you need to have some consideration, but I will say, interface wise, 2016 is close enough to 2013 and Office 365 that if any of your users are comfortable with that, they will find the UI transition pretty easy. Not like going from SharePoint 2010 or 2010 from 2007. You can be a little lazy on that and move it over. One of the things though, so you talked about Minroll. One of the things I tell people is don't just copy your 2013 farm and make it in 2016, because now we've got things like Minroll to think about. We've got, you know, are we moving search to the cloud? These kind of things. So, you know, step back, look at what you're going to be doing with SharePoint and size your farm accordingly. But like you said, CJ, what's the path? The good news is if you're using out-of-the-box tools, the decision tree is very simple. Database attach.
Gotcha. That's the only option.
Yeah, there's no forks there. You can't screw that one up. It's database attach. So yeah.
So there's no in-place upgrades anymore, right?
No, that went away when you moved from SharePoint 2007 to 2010 was the last time you could do that.
Oh, wow. I am really behind the times.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Shows you how many farm migrations I've done.
Yeah.
Well, that says a lot. You're a former Microsoft, so that sure says
what
a lot.
What do you do there, Steve?
Just talk about it. Don't do it. What are you talking about?
You can do that. Now, I tell folks when I teach upgrade classes is out of the box. It's database attach only. Upgrades are a great time to reevaluate everything and say, hey, is this site collection too big? Should these webs all be one site collection? All that kind of stuff. And so this is a good time to fix those things. And you can't really do that with out of the box tools. So what I tell folks is, we all know who our problem children are, which site collections are heavily customized, which ones are too big, too small, whatever. Have an idea about those. The other ones that aren't problem children, they'll database attach easily. For the problem children, maybe we need to use a third-party tool to fix some of these problems. And the good news is you can mix and match. You can bring the databases over that make sense. You can third-party tool the ones that make sense. It's not an either-or thing.
Mm.
Gotcha. What about, there's a couple of things that seem like they might trip people up in migration that come to mind. Things like features missing from 2016 that were in 2013. So like Excel services, for example.
Yeah.
When I was at Microsoft, I had a very heated debate about why InfoPath Form Services needed to stay in the box that when engineering wanted to cut it.
Yeah.
And my reason was migration, right? Like it was as simple as that. Like nobody would be able to upgrade if that went away. If you used it, you'd be stuffed and you'd be staying on 2013. So there must be a few cases like that as well, right? Where you're just blatantly not going to be able to upgrade.
I don't think there are any where you can't upgrade, but you have to do mindful upgrades. So the Excel one is interesting. For those of you that haven't gotten to do battle with that, there were two different Excel things in SharePoint. There was Excel services, which was the ability to do Excel calculations inside of web parts. And the only thing I ever saw with that was mortgage calculators, because that was the one demo that everybody had. So there was that, and then there was the Excel web app, which came out in SharePoint 2010, which is in-browser Excel. It let you do all the crazy things. The problem there was you had to tell SharePoint when somebody clicks an XLSX file, which do I go to? And you could only choose one. So you had to pick what your farm did. Did it do Excel services or Excel web app? And that was always a problem. And that problem existed in 2010 and 2013. In 2016, the bad news is they yanked out Excel services. The good news is all that's done now by the Excel web app or the Office Online Server Excel piece. So you can upgrade and then you just wire all your OWA stuff to point, everything to point to that. Your Excel services stuff will work then. InfoPath is an interesting story because that's been going to be dead for many, many years now. And they haven't found the solution they like.
A way to kill it.
Yes, they haven't found its replacement yet, which means they haven't found a way to migrate out of it yet, which means it continues to be supported in the on-prem versions of SharePoint.
The support timelines got pushed out, right? InfoPath Form Services is still in the box.
Yeah. Yep.
No new client, but
nope.
But yeah, anywho. What about...
InfoPath 2010, you know, is essentially the technology.
Go to town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. What about Foundation? Near and dear to my heart, like back in 2007 when I moved to the US, I joined the Windows SharePoint Services team. And yeah. So that was what then became
Foundation.
The Foundation SKU. So where are we at with that?
Yeah, so that was near and dear to my heart. When I first got my MVP award 10 years ago, I was a WSS MVP. WSS and SharePoint Server. One was owned by the Windows team. One was owned by the Office team. I was a WSS MVP. Very close to my heart. That has gone away. So with SharePoint 2003 and 2007 and all that, they needed a free version to kind of get people's appetite whetted and get people excited about SharePoint in a way that was easy for them to do. And they don't have to do that anymore. Everybody knows about SharePoint. Everybody loves SharePoint. So there is no longer a Foundation version.
So I'm imagining you have a lot of customers at Rackspace that are running Foundation only. Where do they go? To the cloud?
To the cloud. Everybody to the cloud. What we have found is that Foundation was not, certainly with 2013, not that big of a draw. By the time SharePoint 2013 came out, people who were going to use SharePoint had already decided they were going to. They didn't need that little taste. And they'd played with SharePoint enough that Foundation was limiting for them.
Gotcha.
They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do whatever. So fortunately, we don't have to deal with that a lot. So for now, where do they go? Yeah, Office 365, Rackspace also resells and supports Office 365. So certainly we can happily shuffle them off to that part of the business. Or they can stay on 2013 for a while. There's any number of SharePoint killers that have come out in the last decade that they can entertain going to. But yeah, that was one of the things. They got rid of Foundation, and that was... And I get it. You know, Microsoft has this whole dollar thing. We've all worked with Microsoft enough. We understand if you had a dollar to spend, how much would you spend on this? How much would you spend on that? And Foundation just ended up being a cost that they didn't need anymore. So I'm kind of happy that those resources were pushed to do other cool things.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's good. I understand why, but it's also sort of sad in that a lot of people used Foundation as just as a sort of a freebie, get started, do some random things with partners on your extranet, that sort of stuff. So I think people will need to find an alternative for that.
Yep. And that's a sad deal. You can email me at todd.clint@rackspace.com if you have any questions about what to do with your Foundation farms. Happy to chat with you.
Nice. Sort of in a nutshell, what do you think the top three things for you are with the 2016 release, and what are you most looking forward to over the next couple of years with SharePoint on-prem?
I feel like I'm singing the company song, but I'm really excited about the hybrid options. I was kind of a cloud hater for many years, and it's won me over. I can see the utility of it. I don't think on-prem's going away anytime soon, but I can definitely see the hybrid options. That's one of the things. The other thing that I really like is the app thing. I got rid of my Windows Phone a year or so ago, and there are these things called apps. There are programs that you can run written by other companies that aren't included with the OS, and they do things. It is the most amazing thing. I love it. So Microsoft has some of these apps things that run on my Android device, and I can do all kinds of OneDrive and SharePoint, and that ecosystem, that easily getting hold of my content, that's a great one. I love that. And I'm not sure what a number three would be. I had it just a second and I forgot. I don't know. It's just it's good stuff. I was very, very dark and sad years ago. I thought my SharePoint future was over. But a couple of years ago, I came back around, and I'm glad to still be here.
Nice. And so will we see a Shane and Todd revisited session at a conference espousing all the values of SharePoint 2016?
We probably not. Shane was never much of an asset to that team to begin with. Let's be honest. So we're not really missing much.
I think we just lost our Shane contingent.
Well, both of them. So Shane hasn't touched SharePoint in 2 or 3 years, which was easy for him to conceal because he didn't know a lot about SharePoint to begin with. So there was not, when he quit using it, the knowledge level didn't drop an appreciable amount. But he actually kind of moved out of using SharePoint, and he's doing some Azure things and kind of doing some stuff on his own. So I don't...
It was sort of like when Kiwis moved to Australia, the IQ of both countries go up.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly the thing. So yeah, I mean, I still talk to the guy, several times a week. I try to keep him honest and all that. But he's not doing SharePoint, and it's been kind of sad. Though I get to actually speak during sessions now, so that's something. I had no idea how long a 75-minute session was without him talking for, 62 of it. And now I've got to talk the entire time. My throat gets dry. I get winded. So there's been some adjusting to be made, but it's all good.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Shane, if you're listening to the show, I'm really sorry, buddy.
I had no idea that was going. I had been on mute probably for the majority of the show, laughing my ass off at so much stuff. This is awesome.
So where can people find you? I mean, I mentioned your netcast. That's still going strong. Yep. You do that. Is it every week or every couple of weeks?
I do every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock Central, which CJ, for you, that's 2 o'clock. There are other time zones in the U.S. We have one in the middle of the country we call Central. It's at 4 o'clock Central.
Hey, listen, you two Americans. There are time zones elsewhere in the world, too. I understand these time zone things.
It's all based off of East Coast time.
Crazy time zone things you speak of.
I'll interrupt really quick. We can tell when the border laws were very lax in the U.S. because you said you came over in 2007, so clearly they got stronger after that.
Yes. They noticed the error and they're like, what the hell?
I've been hiding ever since. Yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Todd.
So I do my podcast, and that's SharePoint Things, Office 365, Azure. It's really just whatever I played with the week before. And you can go to toddclint.com/netcast and the schedule and that. And then I've got a backlog. Before you watch, I did episode 280 on Monday. So before you watch 281, you have to go back and start at the beginning. You don't want to miss out. It's kind of like Netflix binge watching. You don't want to start in the middle.
It's kind of like Game of Thrones. You just get super confused. Exactly. You jump in.
A lot of confusion in my podcast listeners.
And on Twitter, obviously, at Todd Clint.
At Todd Clint, yep. But yeah, reach out to me. I'm a fairly friendly guy. So if you tweet to me, I'll likely tweet back to you.
Any places you're going to be coming up? Any shows people can find you at or anything? Are you going to be in Boston for the SP TechCon show in June?
Yep. Going to be in Boston for SP TechCon, and the Ignite thing is going to be in Atlanta in September. I've already started bribing folks, sending gifts of chocolates and other things to my friends with blue badges out in Redmond. So hopefully I'll be invited out to Ignite. Again, that would be a good time. And I think that there might be another SP TechCon. I don't know if they're going to do another one this year or not, but...
They have one late in December, I think, in San Francisco. That one actually...
So I wasn't sure if they'd announced that yet. So there is absolutely...
Well, that one's been announced because we actually have an issue with I'm one of the co-chairs for the SP Live conference down in Orlando, and they're the exact same time. So I had to talk to them and find out like what's going on. So that'll be interesting because it's totally unrelated, but we're doing it. I think that we're going to focus more on IT pro and dev and less of the traditional audience of an SP TechCon, which is more on the business, I think. Or predominantly it's more on the business. I think that the three of us are more in the minority at that conference. Me, definitely, as a dev, being very much the minority of that conference.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be speaking in Stockholm, Sweden. Joran Huseman does the SharePoint Exchange Forum there. And that is the end of October, beginning of November, I think. And
very nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to be busy. And with 2016 going, I'm also doing a bunch of user groups. So if you've got like a SharePoint user group, if I can do it remotely, I'm doing the Oklahoma City one, I think in June. I think I'm going to be doing one in Alaska later this year. I'm happy to do those kind of things. As CJ and AC can attest to, I don't mind an audience. I don't mind a stage. So if you need somebody to fill some blank air, reach out to me. I can probably hook you up.
Awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, hey, thanks for coming on the show and talking to us, educating us about everything that's going on. And
thanks for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Been a while since we've touched on-prem bits, AC and I, so we're getting a bit behind the time, so we appreciate that.
You're all caught up.
The catch up. Yeah, excellent.
Awesome.
I'm going to go start upgrading the biggest farms I can find.
Attaboy. I like that spirit.
We'll put the reminder on there for the next on-prem discussion then in about 6 years then. So we'll see you in about 6 years, Todd.
I'll put it in Outlook. I'll pitch it.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. This is a great discussion.
My pleasure.
Cheers.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.